Welcome to Tasting Room Radio, the last show of 2018. What a year it's been. I'm Terry David Mulligan. All the details for the show, the connections to the wineries and people we're going to talk about can be found at tastingroomradio.com. You can stream the show there, and you can subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and Apple Podcasts. Here's the lineup. We start with the Wine Diva, and this is all about her lists. I've learned over the years that the Wine Diva comes up with great wine lists because she tastes, I think I'm going to ask her, I bet at least 2,000 wines over the course of the year. And she starts to make her notes, and at the end of the year, she adds it all up and gives you great lists. If you're looking for wines for yourself for 2019, she has already tasted them and has posted them at winediva.ca. So we're going to talk to Dana for the first two segments. We're going to end with Bubble, which is really her heart's delight. She is a bubble queen. And she mentions Randy Ullum from Kendall Jackson, who is the chief winemaker for Kendall Jackson. They make a lot of wine. We went back and found the last interview that we did with Randy Ullum, and that will be segment four. Segment three is Harry Hershick from the Vancouver Wine Festival, just giving you a heads up so that the wine festival doesn't sneak up on you. It's the 41st annual. Harry's going to give you just some tasting notes and some ideas about how you can plan your Vancouver Wine Festival, which is coming up in February. So that's the show. It's busy. Let's get at it. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch, who would like to thank you for your support and your friendship over the past 12 months. And look forward to welcoming you to The Hatch in 2019. You can find them at 3225 Boucherie Road in West Kelowna or on the web at thehatchwines.com. And welcome to Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. We're about to do the lists from the Wine Diva. Hello, Dana.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm very good. So the lists can be found at winediva.ca. And the cool thing about the lists that are placed on that list is that on the some of them you can actually see there is a printable version. And so the bottle shots go away, and it's just the basic nuts and bolts of what you need to know. The kind of thing you print up, which is what I do, put in my pocket, and when I get to the store, I pull it out, have a look at it, and there you are. The last time you looked, how many wines do you figure you average tasting throughout the year?
Oh, well, I taste probably 2,000 a year. I don't review that many, but that includes when I'm traveling and I'm tasting wines and, of course, when I'm judging wines and things like that. So I taste probably 2,000 to 2,500 a year.
So what list do you want to start with?
Well, we can start with the top 100. I think that's, for a lot of people, that's always their favorite because it's the top 100 wines that score 89 points or more on my sister website, Wine Scores.
Right.
And they're $20 or under.
Or under. See, that's the magic word, those two right there, or under $20. let's stick with the Okanagan, head for Mount Boucherie.
Yeah, and I think that every so often, I mean, we taste, or I taste Gewurztraminers all year round, and they are, in some ways, I think they're kind of falling out of favor with some people. They're moving into lighter, fresher wines, and there's something to be said about a really good Gewurztraminer. I mean, they are kind of full throttle. They have a lot of aromatics and a lot of rich flavor, sometimes an oily palate. And this one is exactly what you want in that style. It's got all the exotic fruit, the honey, the floral, and the concentration. It's basically a potent wine. But, you know, around this time of year when you're having things like turkey, it's great. And it's $18, and that's the 2017 edition.
How are you with the sweetness of the Gewurz these days?
I personally have a little bit of an issue with the sweetness. If the acid is there and it's really well balanced, that's wonderful. But I think there's a few people out there, for instance, Michael Bartier from Bartier Brothers, who tends to make his wines a little bit more precise, a little bit more restrained, and also Corselettes from Similkameen.
Right.
They have a great Gewurztraminer, which is a little bit more precise and on point, less of that tropical style, which I'd quite like as well.
Is it true that you have a Pinot there? Under $20?
Oh, yeah. I've got a few of them probably on this list, but this one is really, really good value. It's from Chile. It's Santa Carolina. And they've repackaged and rebranded it under just Carolina, but it is made from Santa Carolina, and it's their Reserve Pinot Noir.
Wow.
I don't know why it's a reserve when it's $14.50, but hey, who's going to complain when it's a great, fresh, silky wine that offers great value? It's got those cherry components, good balance. It is fresh, it's harmonious, and that's what you want to drink.
She is the Wine Diva, Dana Van Mulligan, and you can follow along on her lists at winediva.ca and winescores.ca. We come to Kamloops, the Kamloops Wine Trail, Harper's Trail. They're rosé.
Yeah, you know, it's tough with rosés sometimes to put them in the top 100 because you never know when they're going to sell out. I love it when people still have rosés for this time of year because I think they should be drunk all year round. But I understand that they sell out early in the summer. There's only so much available. This one is, well, it's probably private wine stores around $19. You can get it cheaper if you get it through the winery. And Harper's Trail, I think, is making some of the best wines in on the Kamloops Wine Trail. There's only four wineries there, of course.
Sure.
But, you know, Michael Barche makes this wine, and it's a standout rosé. It's peachy pink in color. It's a drier style. Still has some sweetness, but nice and juicy, great with like cheese and salami and things like that.
You know, the thing about Harper's Trail, because Kamloops was one of my old hometowns, and I know that bench well. And I think I asked the people at Harper's Trail, how long is the bench? How long is it goes around the corner of the Thompson River? And they said it goes for like 30, 40 kilometers. I said, could you imagine a day when there are wineries all the way up and down that valley? And they went, if we can be successful. So Harper's Trail was that first winery there, and I like the fact that they have success, and perhaps they'll be, by the time next year, there'll be another couple of wineries built.
Well, and with the way that the, you know, climate change is happening, it's getting warmer up there, so they'll have less trouble growing vines, basically.
The next one we're going to talk about is Township 7, the Muscat.
Yeah, I just applaud this style. There are a couple people who make really fantastic Muscats in this style. Joie Farm, one of them.
Yep.
And Township 7 is the other. This one comes from the Rock Pocket Vineyard. And it is one of the Township 7's vineyards. It is a dry style. So Muscat is a very highly aromatic wine. This one has a precision, a pristine fruit character. It's perfumed, but at the same time, it's tangy. There is a little bit of sweetness, but don't let that dissuade you. It's not a sweet wine. It's just a mouth-watering finish on it, and I really do love this style. It's $18.
I like Kathy Malone's style up at Hillside as well. The cool thing about Township 7 and buying that Rocket Pocket is that that was one of their growers. And I guess the rules of the game have changed, and that is if you want that fruit, you better buy that vineyard because then you can guarantee you're going to have that fruit year in, year out.
And also you have complete control over the whole growing from start to finish. So a lot of people are really wanting that. And there's a new influx of cash at Township 7.
Yep.
So, you know, they've got new ownership, and that always helps.
Sure. Mozzie, tell me about this Paso Doble.
Well, you know, I love this story because Mazzi, of course, is a Venetian family. They're based out of near Verona, so they make Valpolicella wines, very historic in the area. And, of course, Valpolicella, and if you know or not, I am the only Canadian wine expert, Valpolicella wine expert. I'm one of only two in North America, actually. So I have an affinity with the region. And the Paso Doble, what they've done is they've taken that drying process of the grapes that they use in Valpolicella, and they make the same similar wine in Argentina, in Mendoza, high up in the mountainside, and they actually grow the same type of grapes, which they grow in Italy, which are called Corvina, and they partially dry the grapes for this wine, which gives it great concentration. And for $14.50, this wine is a really good value. It's got that richness and concentration, but a nice juiciness as well, and it's $14.50, yeah. Great price.
Now, we've only talked about, Dana's only talked about five wines here, mentioned a couple of others, but there's the top 100. under 20 bucks. Don't, this whole thing, somebody bumps into me or you and says, why is everything so expensive? Hey, there's a list here. It's under $20. Some of them are unbelievably cheap, but you have to see the list. You have to print it up. Keep it handy. That's why the winediva.ca is the place to go, and winescores.ca. So Dana, I tell you what, let's keep the antenna, because we're just around the corner from New Year's Eve. We'll keep bubble for last, because there's a tingling sensation going on up and down my spine about your bubblicious. You're a bubble hound. So let's do the top 50 over 20, and then we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and do bubble, okay?
Sounds good.
Okay. So the top 50 over 20, and how many points? 91 plus?
It has to be 91 points or more, correct.
Wow. Rust Wine Company, which used to be Rustico.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So they were sold, and I believe the family from Mount Boucherie are the ones that purchased them. Don't, you know, I think that's what I've been told anyways. Mm-hmm. So they've rebranded, and the new brand is fantastic looking, by the way.
Yeah.
So it's Rust Wine Co. Co. And they've got a number of great wines they had before. They've got the older vines. This is the Syrah that's in my top 50. It's $37. It's in a big, heavy bottle with a wax sealing, a sealant all over the cork. Very impressive weight. It's got a pepperiness. It's got lots of smokiness and wild black berries. It's a plush and intense wine. It's a really decadent kind of red from BC.
They're kind of hitting it out of the park, those guys, because, I mean, it's a young group gone in there, and they've reimagined what that vineyard could be and that fruit could be. It's really cool.
Yeah, and they've got the old vines, so.
Sure, yeah. And just down the valley a bit, Vanessa, with the Meritage?
Yeah, so Vanessa Vineyard, I mean, obviously they came out of they came out swinging, and they had, you know, good investment. They took a lot of years breaking up that vineyard, planting it, and it's like a decade in now. They have been releasing their wines for, since 2012 was their first vintage. They actually released them. This is the 2014 Meritage, so it's a blend of Cabernet Sauvignon, Merlot, Cabernet Franc. And their wines are all opulent in style. They're big. They're usually a lot of chocolatey. There's a lot of weight to them, but they have really good generosity, and their tannins tend to be really well managed. So nice, soft tannins. These wines are only available, though, through in restaurants or through the wineries. So you won't find them in stores.
$32?
$32 for that.
2014. This is a Howard Soon wine?
Yes. Howard Soon has, you know, the wines have been made at Red Rooster.
Yeah.
But Howard Soon is kind of the overseer of the wine process. Yeah.
They kind of set up this this whole situation with Vanessa when they described at their grand tasting that they were going to make the greatest red wine in all of Canada. Right out of the box, they said that. And so
that's exactly what Suki wants. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it. Tell me about your Napa.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think we always, when we talk about the top 50, some of the best bottles that we get up here in BC, California's always got to be in there. And Napa Valley, of course, I've got the Fremark Abbey Cabernet Sauvignon, the 2014 here. It is of a Napa price point. It's $53. And some of them are much more expensive than that. But it's a classic blend made from the Bordeaux varieties, Cabernet Sauvignon dominant. But yes, there are other varieties mixed in or blended in there. It is seductive and supple. There's black currant, plums, mocha, vanilla. It's kind of a muscular style, but, you know, it's everything you expect from Napa.
How do you like the California guests that are coming for the 2019 Vancouver Wine Festival?
Oh, it's going to be a great lineup of people. I've already spoken to a couple of my friends down there. Randy Ullum especially is excited to be coming up.
Sure.
From Kendall Jackson.
Nobody has invested more time in this market than Randy Ullum, truly.
Yeah, I agree.
Tantalus, Old Vines Riesling, bless your heart.
I just love this wine. You know, I could wax on about it, because for Riesling lovers, really well-made Rieslings that have great tension, and I hate throwing words like this around, but tension is a very It's a firm kind of acidity and a kind of a backbone in white wines that just makes your mouth water, and it, you know, it's so well made. They've got old vines. This one's like green apples, crunchy green apples, yep. And lemons and floral. It's just so superb and so well done. This is a 2015, and it's $30, just over $30.
Yeah, and don't bang this back like it's a patio wine. Just take it. And more importantly, if you can hang on to the 2015 until, say, 2020, you will be rewarded fivefold. It just gets better and better and better.
And, I agree.
Andy, we've got to have a Cab Franc. There's got to be a Cab Franc.
Well, absolutely. Well, it is BC, and how much do we love Michael Barche? Yep. And he's such a great winemaker. And I think the one thing I have to say about Michael Barche, besides he's the most humble man that you'll ever meet, most winemakers are, but he is just up there. He makes honest wines. And when I say honest, he's not mucking about with them. He's not trying to make a wine that the vineyard doesn't want him to make.
Yeah.
He makes it from the vineyard, and he makes them good. I mean, that can be an excuse for bad wines. It's supposed to taste like the vineyard, but he makes wines that are fantastic, that taste, they're honest, like the vineyard. So, you know, I'm always happy to have him in here, and of course, I've got his Cabernet Franc.
Cab Franc, $30, 2016. All right, that's the top 50 over 20 at winediva.ca. You can also go to winescores.ca. When we come back with the Wine Diva, we're going to do bubbles, and she is the queen of bubbles. And you'll see why in just a moment. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by The Hatch, who would like to thank you for your support and your friendship over the past 12 months, and look forward to welcoming you to The Hatch in 2019. You can find them at 3225 Boucherie Road in West Kelowna, or on the web at thehatchwines.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. New releases from Unsworth: the 2015 Cuvée de Lille and a new dessert wine called Mistel, made from 100% estate Pinot Gris. All the details at unsworthvineyards.com. All right, let's just review here. We have the Wine Diva.
Hi.
Top 100, $20 or less. Top 50 over 20 are the two lists that we've already done, and you can find them. You can print them up, winediva.ca, winescores.ca, the companion site. We now come to the moment. It's almost New Year's. We're just in that gray area between Christmas and New Year's, and bubble seems to step forward just about now, and so it should. And frankly, Dana, before we get to the list, bubble is just having a trend. Everybody's trying to make a bubble.
Yeah, well, I think that bubble has always been around, but it was really Prosecco from the Veneto region of Italy that took off. That was a great price point. People could pronounce Prosecco. It was fun, light, easy to drink, affordable, and it really spurred the rest of the world for consumers to love bubble. So they started to spread out. And some of it's made in a traditional method, like champagne is, and some of it's made more in a bulk method or charmat method, like Prosecco is, which is less expensive. But we have some really fantastic bubbles here in BC.
Sure. Starting with Blue Mountain?
The whole Okanagan Falls GI, sub-GI, which is new. It's new sub-geographical indicator. It is the second sub-geographical indicator in British Columbia. The first was the Golden Mile. So sub-GI just means it's within the geographical indicator of the Okanagan Valley. And within the Okanagan Falls, there are some great bubbles coming out of there. Of course, the first and the foremost is Blue Mountain. They've been doing it for a long time. They're Blanc de Blanc. If it says Blanc de Blanc, it's white from white. So this is 100% Chardonnay. And it is a profound wine. It is my favorite. I love Blanc de Blanc styles. There's a creamy texture, but yep, it's very high in acid. It's got a toastiness, and it's a bright kind of buoyant type of a bubble. And for the price point still, at $40, it is champagne quality.
2010. And one thing that they have that you either have it or you don't, and that is consistency. Year in, year out, Blue Mountain will come through with the best of the best.
That's right. And their next-door neighbor, Meyer family as well.
Yeah, just, well, It's an interesting neighborhood. A Meyer Brut. Wonderful. $40?
$40. And this is a blend of typical champagne varieties, Chardonnay with 30% Pinot Noir. And it's from their McLean Creek Vineyard in the Falls there. So also part of that new sub-GI I just mentioned. It's a restrained style. It's got dried flowers, young quince and apple flavors, and it's very edgy on the palate. So if you like that fresh, kind of frothy and edgy style of sparkling wine, then you're going to love this one.
Okay, here's the deal. Two things we know about Meyer. One is they make incredible Chard, and they have various levels of Chardonnay, and they make a fantastic number of Pinot Noirs. So when you think about that for a second, why wouldn't they make an incredible Brut?
It's a no-brainer, really. It's absolutely. I'm surprised it took them as long as it did to start making sparkling. But we know making sparkling wine is a very specific technique and talent.
You better have the bills paid before you start your program, because it takes quite a while. Here's one of the success stories of the Okanagan Valley, and that is Fitzpatrick at the forgotten, almost abandoned Greta Ranch, making a comeback and riding off into the sunset with their Brut.
You know, they came out of the gate with their sparkling wine, not messing around, period. You know, they've got three sparkling wines out right now. This is just one of them. This is the Fitz Brut. And this is a traditional method made in the same kind of philosophy as small batch grower champagnes are. If you know what that means, it's just smaller champagne growers in France. It's made with Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, aged 24 months on lees, so it's got that kind of almost a bread doughy character, which is very typical. Now, don't let that put you off when I say a bread doughy kind of character. It's got yellow apples and honey and nice fine bubbles, which comes from that aging. So another great wine from the Fitzpatrick family. They're doing bubble now that they've sold Cedar Creek. So they've invested in bubble, definitely.
Flat out. I think as you drive down the driveway, it says entering the bubble zone. For you, it would be like a vacation.
Heaven.
How about Chandon? How about the Brut Rosé?
Yeah, you know, I want to throw one in here that's, you know, pretty accessible. You can get it anywhere, pretty much anywhere around the world. It's out of California. It's a $33 bottle. They have a rosé and they have a traditional kind of Brut style. It's got nice complexity. It's frothy and pink. It's got sweet cherries and tangerine. But don't let that, that's not a sweet wine. It's just, it's got good structure and nice creaminess to it as well. So just a good all over bubble.
Do you have an Italian bubble?
Yeah, of course we have to talk Prosecco because it seems to be the sparkling wine that launched it all. And now, of course, Vaporetto or most Proseccos are made in a Charmat method, which means their secondary fermentation happens in a tank, not in bottle. And the Vaporetto, it just pays homage to the little steamer boats, which they use to run through the canals of Venice, which is very charming. And it's as charming as the bubbly itself. It's delicate, it's fruity and floral, has a nice silky texture. It's an easy drinking wine for $18.99.
And Dana Van Mulligan, the queen of the bubbles. Dana, I'm delighted that you have included, first time ever, I think, a Brut, a bubble from the UK.
Yeah, so this is the Bride Valley Vineyard Brut. Now, there are a number of them coming out of a huge industry, actually, coming out of the UK. This one's close to my heart just because it's made by the Spurrier family. So Mr. Stephen Spurrier, who is known for the 1976 Judgment of Paris.
Right.
That's where his notoriety comes. But since then, of course, he's been one of the most influential wine critics in the world. And I spent some time with him last February in Napa for a few days and here in British Columbia as well. So these are his wines. This is you can get this in BC liquor stores, so it's available. It's made from Chardonnay, Pinot Noir, and a little bit of Pinot Meunier, actually more than a little bit, 20% Pinot Meunier, which is even high for champagne. So it comes from Dorset in the UK, and it's got this chalky tanginess, crunchy, kind of very nice, fine, fizzy bubbles. You know, it's a great expression of what you're getting out of the UK.
You know, typically the English are the toughest sell on their own products.
But they love their champagne, so they're trying to compete in their own market now.
True, very true. So a 2014, $47. Brides Valley Brut. Can we find it here easily, or is it going to be a bit of a chase?
I've found it quite easily in BC liquor stores. I've seen it in a number of them. You might have to track it down. Just go to the BC liquor store site, and they'll tell you where you can find it. But it is available here, so... Yeah, go definitely try it. Check it out, because they've got the same soils, the same types of soils in Dorset and in parts of the UK where they're growing this. They do in Champagne. So there's a lot of similarities.
If we have teased you on the bubble portion of this special with the Wine Diva, all you have to do is go to winediva.ca. winescores.ca. Check out the lists. Everybody has their favorite lists. You can print them up. You can check out the bottles and see what they're... And the tasting notes are all there. She goes crazy with their tasting notes. Crazy. And I realize all of a sudden after reading all of the descriptors, all she's talking about is the nose. She hasn't even gotten to the mouthfeel and the palate yet. So she is the Wine Diva, Dana Van Mulligan. Where will you be New Year's? What continent?
Oh, no, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be in Italy a couple times in the early part of the year, but I'm staying home with my dog and my two boys.
Yeah, okay. Thank you, Dana. Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you.
She is Dana Van Mulligan, the Wine Diva. Welcome. Anytime she cares to knock on our door. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Unsworth Vineyards in the Cowichan Valley. The restaurant at Unsworth Vineyards has begun year four of a community-supported restaurant membership, which includes 5 3-course dinners and 10 2-course lunches or a combination of both until April the 19th, 2019. Find all the details at unsworthvineyards.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. Have you heard the news? They were recently named in the top 8 wineries in Canada and the top 4 wineries in BC at the 2018 National Wine Awards of Canada. You can find all the details at bench1775.com. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. It's a busy, busy show. There are lots of events going on, but the one that you want to pay attention to, as always, is the Vancouver International Wine Festival. And Harry Hershick, the executive director, is on the line once again, saving my butt once again by having all of the information at his fingertips. Harry, welcome to 2019. We're in 2018, but welcome to 2019.
Yeah, I'm Jeff. It's great to jump into your radio show again. I love chatting with you and sharing with your listeners all the exciting things that are happening here in Vancouver at the end of February at the Vancouver International Wine Festival.
The first
edition number 41.
She took the words right out of my mouth, because that's always my first thing. What year is it? It's 41. Okay. 8 days.
Okay, we've been doing this since 1979.
You start on February 23rd?
Yes, we're kicking off with the Bacchanalia Gala Dinner and Auction, which is a big fundraiser for our designated charity, the wonderful Bart and the Beach Shakespeare Festival. And that's going to be a great night. We raise a couple of $100,000 for Bard, and that's the way we kick off the festival every year. And then on the 25th, we launch into Festival Week with 53 other events.
How many countries?
We've got 16 countries this year, 160 wineries, and we're featuring our theme this year, Dream Big California Style, with 53 California wineries.
53. First of all, they have their own challenges down there, what with drought and fire and pestilence. And so there's lots of stories to tell, but they're going to bring their best, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, there's just a wave of Napa Valley wines coming, particularly lots of Cabernet Sauvignon. If you love Napa Cab, this is a great festival. And, you know, you mentioned about the fires and the traumatic conditions in California wine country. But altogether, if we couple wineries from California, Oregon, Washington, and British Columbia, all those regions have been facing these fire challenges. There's 85 wineries from the south of California to the north of the Okanagan. So it's a great chance to really understand what's happening here in the West Coast in terms of wine styles. And
I see a note here, 42,000 bottles poured and or purchased in 2018. But let's just remind people that if you like what you taste, you can take some home or have it find you at home.
Yeah, we have 4 public sessions in the big tasting room where all the 160 wineries are pouring over 700 wines. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday night and Saturday afternoon, those four sessions. Any of those wines you taste in that tasting room are available on the on-site BC Liquor Store. And what they have this great service, whether you buy one or two or three bottles or two or three or four cases, they'll ship those wines to your nearest liquor store anywhere in the province of British Columbia. So you can leave the festival basically hands-free. So, and not only hands-free, but we will actually give you a free ticket if you book a hotel room with Stay Vancouver Hotels. So if, you know, whether your listeners are from the Okanagan or Vancouver Island or anywhere in British Columbia, it's a great opportunity to come to Vancouver on the first weekend of March, go to the wine festival, stay in a hotel, have lots of fun, go to downtown restaurants, buy lots of wines, wines you love, wines you've never tasted before, and have all those wines shipped to your local liquor store up in Prince George or Prince Rupert or wherever, and make it home by, so you can get to work Monday morning again. That sounds like a great time.
It's a great time. Harry Hershick, of course, the executive director of the Vancouver International Wine Festival, year 41, coming up February 23 through March the 3rd. The Bacchanalia Gala, by the way, is February the 23rd. Now, there are your events. I get to see almost none of your events because I'm running around doing other things. However, 20 of them are California-themed events, and they always throw a great party. So what would you want us to know about some of those events?
You know, people ask, what can possibly be new? But, you know, in the wine world, things are always new, always evolving. A quarter of our wineries are new this year. And yes, I mean, we have dinners, we have parties, we have seminars. So, you know, if you've been to dinners, but you've never been to a seminar before, go to a seminar. If you've been to the tasting room, but you haven't been to a dinner before, check out a dinner. You know, there's so many, there's 54 events in all, and it's because there's so many different ways to enjoy and understand and learn about wine. The average person only goes to about two events. I think what you do is you put the schedule on your computer screen. It's interactive. You can just click on an event, and it'll tell you what wines and what description of the event. I think you just close your eyes, and you just point to your computer screen, and you just go to that event. Actually, and you will be amazed and surprised and go, wow, my life is, I'm a new person once you go to that event, because you will discover wines, and you get to connect with the producers, the winemakers, the owners, from those wines directly. They can tell their story.
The executive director of the 41st annual Vancouver International Wine Festival. Now, Harry, you've said this a couple of times over the years with me, and that is how to best approach that large room with 750 wines in it for the International Festival tastings. And that is, go to the, instead of going to making your list and standing in line, go to the wineries that have no one standing in front of them. And taste those wines, because flat out, there are no dogs in that room. They're all great wines.
The average price of a bottle of wine in that tasting room, of those 700 plus wines, is an amazing $35.61.
Hmm.
So there are, you know, great value wines in the teens and 20s, and you've got blockbuster wines in the 40s, 100s, and beyond. So why waste time in the lineup? I mean, there is a great lineup of wineries. They have great wines. So I look at the room and I go, hey, where there isn't a lineup. And if you've got your eye on a winery that has a long lineup, just keep an eye on that table. And you'll find that somewhere in that evening, that lineup will suddenly disappear. You know, if you've been to the festival a long time, people have their certain strategies. If you're new, the important thing is you need to just experience tasting wine. And one other approach that I use is try to taste a wine from each of the 16 countries at a table that doesn't have a lineup. And you'll suddenly go, wow, I can't believe all the different style of wines from all over the world. Another approach that was told to me by Sandra Oldfield, what she does when she first arrives, she goes right to the liquor store when there's nobody in it.
Yes.
And then just scans all the labels. And that gives her an idea of what's in the room. And then she also likes each of the wines that are only available at the wine festival and not a regular listing has a blue dot attached to it. You can kind of just scan all the wines that you can buy, check out some of the blue dots, make a couple of notes, and then get into the tasting room and hit those wines.
Harry, listen, you've had California there before. Actually, California was your original. It was Robert Mondavi. But I'm kind of wondering what California's attitude towards Canada, and specifically Western Canada, and very specifically Vancouver, if it's changed over the years, if you've noticed changes, and what are they?
Well, the one thing that is important to remember is that Vancouver is the closest international city to California. And so Vancouver was the original export market for California wines. And that's why we have such a long relationship with California for 40 years, is because the vintners there and producers and Robert Mondavi saw the Vancouver market as like, let's see how well our wines do outside of the U.S. So in some ways that connection has never faded. Yes, California, I mean, they now sell in Asia and UK and all across Canada. But it's one of those things that's very constant, is that it's always been very popular. California category has always been strong in British Columbia. And we were the original California Wine Fair for a couple of years. And then we evolved into an international festival. So the California Wine Fair has been going strong in Vancouver. And I mean, the brands change, the styles change. But, you know, California is a very innovative place for wine. And so they're constantly developing new trends. And it's great to have them as a theme, because you get a sense of, like, what's going on
in
California.
And Harry, just to wrap up here, the festival in its beginning was created as a fundraiser for the Vancouver Playhouse Theater Company, no longer with us, unfortunately, truly, sadly. However, it's now become the partner of Bard on the Beach Shakespeare Festival. How are we doing there?
It's a great partnership. Bard on the Beach is about to celebrate their 30th anniversary. We were born as a fundraiser for the performing arts and for theater in particular, and we're very proud of that. You know, arts, culture, wine, food, you know, it's part of enjoyment of life and raising funds for theater and learning about the world of wine and engaging your senses. It's a great way to spend the last week of February, and advance tickets are on sale now at vanwinefest.ca. Get on that website, check things out, we've got a great collection of videos.
Give it that price again for a ticket.
It ranges at the advance right now somewhere between $84 and $109.
Okay, I'm just thinking.
All in. What's great, all our prices include all taxes, all service charges. The price you see is the price you pay. No surprises.
Fantastic. And it has to make your heart jump like joy.
Well, Gold Pass is the pass that I buy, because it gives you access to all six sessions for 3 days. It's a great way to enjoy the world of wine. And, you know, that free ticket that comes with a hotel room, that is a great gift. I mean, if someone said, hey, why don't you spend a night in a hotel and go to the wine festival
exactly.
for a weekend? I mean, that's amazing.
Oh, by the way, there is one small point, but it's big for me, and that is Vine Stars. You ask each winery to send their principals to pour those wines. So in many cases, the person who made and created the wines that you're tasting is the person who is pouring for you.
Yeah, and in the beginning of January is when we announce our lineup of principals and Vine Stars that will be leading in the seminars. We've got some keynote speakers coming and people from out of town, across Canada, some sommeliers from Latin America. We've got just, you know, it's a real global wine event. And we should check in again in January and see who's coming.
Yes, sir.
There's always some, you know, some rock star vintners come to the festival.
You can find the Wine Fest at Van Wine Fest. You can find it hashtag WIWF. Sounds like a wrestling event. And you can find them at vanwinefest.ca. You will not find Harry Hershick because he's busy running around. Only his family knows where he is. I'll see you in January.
And they don't even.
I'll see you. Happy New Year, and I'll see you in January.
Okay. Thanks, Terry.
This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Bench 1775. Have you heard the news? They were recently named in the top 8 wineries in Canada and the top 4 wineries in BC at the 2018 National Wine Awards of Canada. You can find all the details at bench1775.com. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the winner of 15 National Wine Awards for the Wine Align 2018 competition, and now officially Canada's Winery of the Year. Road 13, it's all about the dirt. This is Tasting Room Radio. I'm Terry David Mulligan. My special guest is Randy Ullum. And it's a good year if I can talk to him once a year. He is the chief winemaker and the team leader at Kendall Jackson in Sonoma.
That's our home base.
There's the culinary arts. There's this singing, songwriting. There's the authors and dance and filmmakers and actors and things. But I maintain, maybe it's just the romantic side of me, that the art of winemaking and wine blending
right.
is a rarefied air. There's very few people have trained themselves and given their lives to knowing when the moment is right to make a wine and which direction to go, because
it is an art.
Because
it is.
Once you set it in motion,
there's no turning back. Yeah. So I'd say the art really starts, in the vineyard, of course, and it starts when you're pruning and things like that. But the ultimate art form really takes place at harvest. And that's when you're determining and discerning the differences between the blocks and the berries and the clusters as to when is the ripeness. And we have contracts and parameters. They're all numbers. But at the end of the day, the numbers mean nothing. It's all about the taste. And you just have to throw everything out. And so it's when do you, as a person or a winemaker or an individual, determine, okay, it is ready to pick. I've got all the flavors out of that. I've got all the tannins or all the color, whatever I want. And once you say, okay, pick them, Dano, you've got, they're going to pick them the next day or the day after. Well, now you've cut off that moment in time of the plant growing and maturing that grape on the vine. So now you can't go back. So you've picked it. And then what do you do with it? And now you've got the grapes. Also, how do you pick them? Man, hand, or machine? And then you bring them into the winery. And then you have all these decisions to make. And what are you trying to make? Are you going to put as an example, the Chardonnay, you'll press it and juice it and separate the juice from the skins and seeds. And then are you going to go to a stainless steel tank or barrel? Well, we like barrels. Then, okay, what's going to be old American barrels, oak, French Rizzo, oak, new oak, old. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6-year-old barrels? What kind of yeast? And then is it going to go through malolactic, which gives you the buttery tones or not?
But you also have to know what that 3-year-old barrel will impart.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. You don't just walk into this blind. As an example, a new oak barrel you'll extract 50% of the oak flavor out of that barrel in the first year. A 2-year-old barrel, or a 1-year-old, I guess 1 to 2-year-old barrel, you only have 25% of the extraction rates. 3-year-old, it's 12. So you have to calculate all that stuff in your mind. And then so now, you've done all that and you're going to do your fermentation, and then it's okay, how often are we going to stir the lees or not? And then how long are we going to let it age in the barrel? 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 months. And then when are we going to pull this out and how are we going to pull it out? And then now you have all these lots with all these flavors from all these different regions. And then you're just thinking, okay, well, we're going to blend this together, and we want the aromatics to be there in the ultimate blend. We don't want too much tropical, but we want a lot of tropical. We don't want to overdose it with green apple or apple tones.
Taking me through a testing session.
And then you think, okay, well, just a kiss of apple, a lot of the lemon and lime, and a good supporting tropical tone. But how much butter tone do we want? How much of the vanilla of the barrel? And the new oak, and then you put that in, and now it smells good. Let's see if it tastes good. And then you want to make sure you've got the right richness and the roundness in the palate, and then the clinchers, the finish, and how that goes down. Is it going to be a really long, long, sensuous finish, and inviting one for another sip just to make sure it is that long?
Yeah,
a couple of sips lead to those glasses.
And here's the deal.
Nirvana.
Randy, as you well know, I love that band. There's a lot of people out there, millions, who don't care about any of that.
I know. It gets at the end of the day, it boils down to you taste the wine, you look at it, you taste it, thumbs up or thumbs down.
Yeah.
Who cares about anything?
Or it's on a shelf. If it's below 20, I'll consider it. If it's above slightly, maybe I'll consider it.
Hopefully, if it says Kendall Jackson, you'll always consider it.
So I love the fact that all of these wines are blended from different. And so it's important that we know where Camelot is and what it is.
Well, Camelot now is different than Vintner's Reserve.
Yep.
Vintner's Reserve is all up and down the cool coast of California. Grand Reserve is Monterey and Santa Barbara. Camelot, the vineyard, this is a vineyard designated wine.
Yep.
So now when you get into a very small bottling, terroirially based, the dirt, the one spot on earth, you get more of a vintage variation due to the Mother Nature. But Camelot is in Santa Barbara County. the vineyard. It's in the Santa Maria Valley, but in the Santa Maria Valley, we have the Santa Maria Bench, the filet mignon of Chardonnay.
Oh, it is fantastic.
And then there's the little hillside along that bench. Just as it goes up to that hill, you got some roly-poly knolls there. Well, that's the filet of the filet. And so this Camelot Chardonnay, this is just laced with tropical fruit. It's a meal in itself, actually.
Can you tell now why I wanted to do a food and wine show? They're not all this descriptive, but it's really good. There's romance here, my friends. Let me talk about the Outland Ridge Pinot Noir.
So Outland Ridge is in the Jackson Estate series. That's three tiers up, and that's also a vineyard designate. It's from Mendocino County.
Right.
And in Mendocino, we have our little coastal valley called the Anderson Valley. So this area is about an hour north of Sonoma County, an hour and change north of the Russian River Valley. Russian River is very famous. Okay. But the Anderson Valley, it's the hottest thing going right now. And, of course, you know, the appellation is Anderson Valley, but at our company, Kendall Jackson, we have this MO. You know, all our vineyards are on mountains, ridges, hillsides, and benches. Well, you need all those to make a valley, to make an appellation. So this Pinot is up on the ridges overlooking Boonville in the Anderson Valley. And so what you get from this wine is a little bit more of the darker fruits than you would get, say, from the Russian River, a little bit more body, voluptuous body, and just a kiss of me. I'm almost afraid to say the word tannin, but a little bit more tannins, more structure than you'll get in the Russian River area. Killer, killer Pinot.
And the Kendall Jackson Grand Reserve Cab Sab.
That's Sonoma County all the way, mountains and ridges. And the majority of those grapes will come from the Alexander Valley Mountains and the Knights Valley Mountains, which is kind of interesting because it's the same mountain range, the Mayacamas, but in the Alexander Valley, the mountain dirt and rock is a volcanic brick red colored rock, and then the Knights Valley, it's like a beige blonde volcanic rock. and you can just imagine what the tannins are like.
You joined Kendall Jackson in 92. You became the winemaker in 97. you're from Ann Arbor, Michigan.
Well, it is what it is.
Mark Thies is from Dodge City.
Right.
Fritz is from the Black Forest. Nobody's a local.
No. All transplanted to Northern California with the vineyards, the blue, same old blue sky every day.
By the way, and Randy touched on this, one of the most popular wines in Canada and certainly here in Vancouver is La Crema.
Right.
All right. How about us? Are we Canadians, Randy? Are we in love with Kendall Jackson?
I would hope so. I think so. I feel like very well received and welcomed when I'm here.
But we're a good customer?
A great. Oh, my gosh. Are you ever? You were the second, well, aside from America, the second largest area for selling our wines.
So we really
do. And then
like
number three would be the Caribbean. So being our northern neighbor, and I want Vancouver to be my second home.
Well, you only come here once a year.
I got to do that more.
Could you come in the summer?
I would love to.
Thank you. Two things I just made a note of here. Are you making your own barrels?
Yes, we are.
Nice.
One of the neat things, again, about Jess was his foresight and wanting to guarantee that we would have clear, constant supply of oak and of good oak.
So you bought a cooperage.
So we got burnt once, so we bought a stave mill, actually. Okay. And so we're the first and the last and the only Americans in France with a stave mill.
Okay, there's the deal. So here's those of you out there in the audience wonder, well, why are these wines $35? Or why can't I get my hand? It's because every step of the process for some special people, Kendall Jackson for one, is well thought out. It's somebody's job to take care of that. Somebody and the visionary to lead the team. All of those things go into the making of that bottle of wine that you're going to enjoy tonight.
Exactly.
Okay. A couple of big questions. I'll let you go. One is, so how are we doing in California these days?
In what way? Water-wise, in
positioning in the market, and how are you doing in Sonoma? How are you doing in?
No, we're doing just fine. The name of the game is to have consistent high quality and constantly deliver what people want and expect. So we're doing wonderful.
So let's review. It's Willamette.
Damn it.
It's Ann Arbor, Dodge City, the Black Forest, and somewhere in Canada.
For our key core winemaking team there.
Exactly that. Nobody from the valley.
No, sorry about that.
But when you walk those aisles today and you see hundreds of bottles staring at you, your eye is going to fall on the label Kendall Jackson. The only thing you need to know is there's no wrong wines in that label. They all, because they've thought everything out and they're thinking about you. They're thinking about them, mind you, but it's a huge company. But for some magical reason, they've been able to retain what family wineries are about. That's the deal right
that,
there.
That's the spirit and the mission and the magic to it all.
Of all those meetings you've attended where somebody suggested that maybe they might want to take a look at some vineyards in Canada?
Yeah, we've thought about Canada. I mean, personally, I'd like to retire on some island off the coast of Vancouver and grow a few grapes. Sounds like a good idea. And then you have the ice wine areas above Toronto and or not above, but out in that neck of the woods there. And
Prince Edward County in Niagara.
Yeah, yeah. And then you have that beautiful little strip of lakes going up in Okanagan.
Yeah.
It's pretty out there. And you know, we're always, our eyes are, we have an open mind around the world, you know, as to where to go and what to try and things to do. But that's beautiful there, being in that part of Canada. And you have like the cooler northern part of the lakes, and then you have the southern, more warmer area. It's pretty. One never knows.
Thank you, Randy. Randy Ullum, who is the chief winemaker, leading this great team at Kendall Jackson in Sonoma. Thanks for visiting. We'll see you hopefully more often.
Sure hope so, and thank you.
Come fishing.
Will do.
Thank you.
And that officially is the final Tasting Room Radio for 2018. Who knows what next year brings? But thank you for your support. Thank you for supporting the sponsors of this show and for being responsible wine drinkers. Listen, it's New Year's right around the corner. If you're drinking, do not drive. You owe it to yourself, your family, whoever is in your car or your boat, and you owe it to everyone else around you. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next year. This segment of Tasting Room Radio is brought to you by Road 13, the winner of 15 National Wine Awards for the Wine Align 2018 competition, and now officially Canada's Winery of the Year. Road 13, it's all about the dirt.